Hey, everybody. Good morning to you. It's the 11th of March, 2021. I almost said the Ides of March. It's the 11th of March, 2021. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, which, as you know, is a partner of our American Consortium for Equity in Education over at ACCE-ED.org. And please go over there, check it out. You'll really like what we're doing all about equity. Join up with us. It's free. Go see our magazine over there, which is the magazine, the online journal called Equity and Access, which you'll really enjoy if you go right through there. Okay, flip through, enjoy it, have fun. Again, everything's free. We have all our podcasts over there. We want your voice heard for equity. Pre-K-12, join up with us over at ace-ed.org, the American Consortium for Equity in Education. Okay, we got a nice show for you today. I got my old friend Dave Adams here, who's just newly named the CEO of one of my favorite groups out there, the Urban Assembly, which actually is a nonprofit. This is so interesting. He'll tell us about it. That supports 23 schools within the New York City public school system. Okay, and then they share their work nationally. Their great successes, particularly in the field of SEL, social emotional learning, which is what we're going to talk about today. And he has invited a wonderful guest, a very prestigious guest, I might add, Karen Watts, who is the executive superintendent in the New York City Department of Education, Brooklyn North section. And we're going to find out what she does every day as she oversees. You ready for this? She's just part of this whole thing. 238 schools and 10 districts within Brooklyn North. I don't know how she does it. Karen, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning, Larry. Good morning,
it's a pleasure,
David.
It's a pleasure to have you here, and I imagine, man, Dave, wait a second. I imagine it, overseeing 238 schools and 10 districts within Brooklyn North. You probably are a very busy lady, so I assume you have no more time today. You have to go on to do something else. Am I correct? I'm just kidding you. Right, unbelievable. We'll talk about this in a second. Dave, good morning, buddy.
Larry, good morning, man. Thanks so much for having us.
Oh, God, it's my pleasure. I got to tell you. By the way, Dave, everybody needs to know this. Beginning March 1st, just 11 days ago, Dave became the CEO of the Urban Assembly. Congratulations, David Adams.
Ah, man, thank you so much. I really feel blessed to have this opportunity to support and serve our kids.
I have a feeling that they're blessed to have you doing it. You're pretty good at what you do, my friend, so don't sell yourself short there. It's a win-win for everybody over there. Okay, Karen, before we get into the details of this show, we're going to talk about good SEL systems and how you do it. All right. The size of the New York City school district overwhelms. I talk to school districts, you know, that have 500 kids K-12. Okay, think about that. Okay, way out west and everywhere. Karen, how many kids, how many schools? Tell us about Brooklyn North before I get into Dave's stuff. Karen Watts, everybody.
All right, good morning, everyone. Thank you all for joining this morning. Yes, so I am the executive superintendent of Brooklyn North, New York City Department of Education Borough Office, and it includes the community school districts 13, 14, 15, 16, 19, 23, and 32 in wonderful Brooklyn communities such as Sunset Park, Red Hook, and on the other end, East New York, Bushwick, and then, of course, in between Park Slope, Brownsville, Williamsburg, Fort Greene, and Bedford-Stuyvesant.
Yeah, I just watched Do the Right Thing last week. Good old Bed-Stuy. Okay? That's
funny.
Okay. Spike Lee's, I just watched it last week. They're all wearing Bed-Stuy T-shirts. That's funny. And, you know, all those names are so familiar to so many people from so many movies and books and news and all that sort of stuff. It's really cool. How many kids in what you oversee? Karen, I just am
108,000 students. There are 231 elementary, middle, and high schools in my portfolio. There are some other high schools in these districts, but they are in other executive superintendencies. However, we also have four pre-K centers. So a total of 235 schools in my portfolio and 108,000 students. So it's my pleasure to work on behalf of those students every day. And
I bet you do.
Well. Yes.
Wow, that's all I have to say on that one is just simply wow. Okay, that it's just amazing. And how many executive superintendents are there? Your job.
There were originally nine.
Yeah.
Yes. So there was, when this was first put into place, there were originally nine executive superintendents. One in the Bronx, Misha Ross Porter, who is now our chancellor incoming. And, yes. And then there were two in Brooklyn, two in Queens, and one in Staten Island. And then there were two citywide executive superintendents. Yeah.
The size is absolutely overwhelming to most people. It's just amazing. Wow. Just incredible. Dave, how are you this morning?
Larry, I couldn't be better. I was listening to Karen talk about the scope of her work. I was thinking about Radio Rakim, you know, from the movie that talked about Do the Right Thing. As you say, you know, New York City is iconic. And you have folks like Karen who go out there every day to recreate that city for future generations. So I was appreciating it just like you were.
Yeah, it's amazing. And there is really a Bed-Stuy. It's not just in the movies, for goodness sakes. There is a Bed-Stuy.
And I'm sure that Karen has walked through Bed-Stuy alone to get Billy Joel in his music there.
And the other thing, just before we get into the show, the other thing that as I watched the movie last week, Do Your Own Thing, which was from 1989, one of the stars of it is Giancarlo Esposito, who everybody knows as the Chicken Man from Breaking Bad. He was 40 years younger. Okay?
That's what age does, my friend.
I didn't even recognize him until I looked at the cast, for God's sakes. It's unbelievable. So it's just really funny. And for those of you who didn't watch Breaking Bad, you watch The Mandalorian. He's the bad guy in that. He tends to be a bad guy all the time. I don't know why. He's a good man. Okay. Anyway, moving right along here. Social emotional learning. Dave, tell everybody how the Urban Assembly, fits in to New York City public schools. And then we'll go into your work with Karen's particular district. But just put Urban Assembly in this, which is really cool.
Absolutely, man. So we talk about like the third way, a hybrid model. We have on the one hand kind of traditional straight up district schools. On the other hand, you have charter schools that are part of the district, but outside of the management of the New York City Department of Education. And in the middle, you have these organizations like Outward Bound, Internationals, New Visions, and the Urban Assembly. And we represent what we call the third way, or this hybrid model, in which we partner with the New York City Department of Education to build and to support schools, right? So that means that we are taking innovation within the schools that we develop and spreading them without the entire city. In fact, working with Executive Superintendent Watts, we're actually running a new pilot in District 13 using one of our schools to help spread high-quality concepts around SEL throughout the district to enhance the work that's going on. So the goal of the Urban Assembly is to innovate within these district schools and then to take that innovation and to spread it not only in New York, but in Los Angeles, in California, Virginia, all across the country, because we're working within these schools. I would say we like to solve how problems, not just what problems, like not what should be happening, but like how do you actually make it happen? In order to do that, you got to be working in district schools with district rules to figure out those solutions.
Right. And so New York City becomes the innovative hub, so to speak, and what happens there gets spread out via you guys in this case. Am I right?
Absolutely. Right. So we try to take the big ideas that we learned and then abstract
them
to
work.
Support other districts.
To talk. Let's see if they work. And that's good to have the experiment, and usually they do. And I have one other question before I get back to Karen. Okay.
Yeah.
When you guys came up with this, or vice versa, as you'll hear in a second, who came to who? Did Urban Assembly go to New York City schools, or did New York City schools ask Urban Assembly? What was the genesis of that relationship?
Well, all right, so here's a real story, and you might not know this. This involves our incoming chancellor, Misha Ross Porter. So there was a new courthouse being built in the Bronx, and the local community activists had said, you know, we want to do more than just judge folks. We want to inspire folks. We want institutions that develop the potential of folks. And the organization came together, petitioned New York City Department of Education. That the New York City Department of Education came to our founder, Richard Kahn. We actually built a school in the courthouse. So that school, the law government, Bronx School for Law, Government, and Justice, which was the first urban assembly school, which was a school that Misha actually helped found and then ran and taught in, was a reflection of this idea that we want to do more than just judge, right? Working with the community. We want to elevate. We want to develop. We want to inspire. And that's how we got to be. So the New York City came to us. We started building CTE schools. We're doing work now around career pathways, as you know, as well as social-emotional learning and development. And it's been a partnership with the New York City Department of Education the entire time. That's why I was so blessed to have Karen accept our invitation to talk about how we work together to help innovate within public school systems.
Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing. Thank you for that, Dave. Karen, okay, let me ask, and it's been a rough year, let's face it, with the pandemic, and I know New York City, it's gigantic, and B, it's going through the hammers of hell with all this. Okay, just talk for a second, okay, how things are these days. Is anybody back in school in New York City? How are the kids doing? Then we'll get into the incredible importance this year, especially of SEL, but it's important all the time. But just go over what kind of year it's been, Karen. I can only imagine.
Yes, so thank you for that. I just want to first and foremost again thank David for inviting me. David and I have worked on, and we've been singing the praises of SEL for many years in our parallel roles within within New York City. And, so I'm happy that you've invited me to engage in this conversation this morning.
Our honor to have you here, my dear. Believe me. I know how busy you are. We appreciate your time and your expertise. Believe me.
Yes. Okay, so with respect to our schools, as you know, it's coming up on a year. On March 16th last year when we all went to remote learning, schools had a week to prepare.
Yes.
To launch into remote learning. So we were remote all of spring 2020. And then as we planned for the start of the 2021 school year, we planned for what we call blended or hybrid learning, which was really sort of like determined by the space available in schools and the need to physically distance our students in classrooms and so on. And so we were able to bring students back into physical buildings early on in the school year. There was a time when the cases went up, and so we had to go all remote, and then we returned elementary students before the winter break, and then we returned middle school students right after the midwinter break, and we're planning to return high school blended students. Students whose parents opted in for them to be on site on March 22nd. So we've had a mixture of remote-only students, blended students, sometimes in school buildings, sometimes remote. And now with the return of elementary and middle, and we're planning for high school, some of our blended students are able to go as many as 5 days. Each week. So that's great.
Well, you're not kidding. That's great. These kids need that. And I'm going to say what you don't have to say, as long as it's safe. And we want it to be safe for the kids and the teachers. I think that's great that we can get the kids back to school. Even though the schools are open, what percentage, just off the top of your head, of kids are going to remain virtual? I'm just curious. Do you know offhand?
I don't have the exact percentage.
Just anecdotally.
But it's more than the students whose families have opted in for them to be blended. Yes.
Well,
but
so it's,
the goal is to ensure that first and foremost, the blended students are not only coming in 2 days per week, but coming in as many as five. And then, we'll go from there. Yeah,
we want it to be safe. And I imagine, and I don't know your community that well, but I know of them, okay, that there are a lot of people of color there. Okay, as there is in New York City, and those communities have been so devastated by the pandemic, we really want them to be safe. Okay, and I know that's first and foremost on your mind, right? Am I correct?
Of course. I mean, all of the decisions that were made for the return to school for this school year, for the the 2021 school year, were based on all of the science at the time.
Yeah,
and that was true for when we first went into remote learning, and a lot of a lot of science was not available. We were using the most, you know, the most recent information we received, right? But
I think you guys
for this 2021 school year, we had some more information, and so we ensured physical distancing. That's why we had far fewer students in each of our classrooms. We ensured adequate ventilation and so forth. And of course, our students and teachers, all staff members in the building, are randomly tested every week. And if, you know, there are cases that are detected, classrooms are quarantined and schools are closed accordingly. So, yes, safety, health and safety first and foremost.
Yeah, because New York went through so much with this, okay? Then New York, then people of color. You go right down the list, and then what you're up against, considering the demographics, okay, it is – what you guys did is a miracle, and what you continue to do is a miracle. You didn't let these kids down. You did the best you could. So now, even in the perfect year, everything's going great, let's say. It's a perfect year. The pandemic didn't happen. We have a lot of social emotional needs among kids. Would I be correct in that statement, David Adams?
Of course. You know, okay. I think social emotional development is something we all do every day, so.
Exactly. You guys have been around long before the pandemic. So my question is, okay, I'm going to go back to, well, I'll start with you, Dave, okay? Dave, we've now thrown the pandemic, okay, on top of everything else with social emotional needs, which is kind of what I was driving at before. This year, talk about this year and the needs of the kids in Brooklyn North and how you work with Dr. Watts.
Yeah, so I'd say one thing. We have one school in Executive Superintendent Watts' district. That's the UA Urban Assembly's Unison School. It's a middle school, 6 to 8 school. I think their model is where everybody deserves a place at the table. And that school has been really thinking a lot about integrating social and emotional concepts into everything that they do. So even though their work in terms of remote and being in person, it's got to kind of go back and forth, the cohort model, a lot of logistics in there. The very way that they interact with kids reflect these social-emotional principles. So, for example, you have students who are leading advisory and interacting with other students. They've done a great job on increasing engagement by working through social-emotional learning frameworks. We have advisory where teachers and students are talking about how they're doing, how they're feeling, and they're learning skills to cope, and they're learning skills to manage their emotions, and are learning skills to build relationships, even in the context of the pandemic.
Yeah.
They just did a national showcase the other day, maybe it was a month ago or so, where folks from across the country, we partnered with Expand Ed, came and saw the work that was happening in Unison School. So just like everything else, Larry, you know, we got to take the pain, we got to take the challenge, and we got to learn from it. This would all have been a waste if we can't get better from the experience that we've had and our kids have had and our teachers have had. And think about every day there are social and emotional dimensions of learning. And if we can pull those things out and we can be explicit and we can teach teachers how to use those social and emotional dimensions of learning to bring out the best learning out of students, we can teach students how to use those social and emotional skills to bring out the best out of themselves and solve problems, then we would have taken this situation, the pandemic, this tragedy, and we've honored those who have sacrificed by learning how to get better.
Yeah, and we do have to learn to get better. It's all about resilience, and I know that's what you guys are all about. So, Karen, knowing the expertise that's behind Unison School, okay, you've got so many other schools, et cetera. How do you, okay, or your administrators, whatever you want to phrase that, work with Urban Assembly and take the good that they're doing at the schools they're working in and extrapolate that out to the rest of the schools? If you do that, I'm just curious. Talk about that.
I'll be happy to.
Yeah. Be my guest.
Yes.
Go ahead.
So one of the ways that I've worked with David over the years is that, you know, I've attended events that he has put on or the Urban Assembly has put on and have shared what we were doing in Brooklyn North. And I've had instances where others from around New York City have implemented some of the practices we have in Brooklyn North. So I just wanted to take a step back, if you will allow me, Larry, to really speak a little bit about the evolution of SEL in Brooklyn North.
Please do.
So as I said before, David and I have been singing the praises of SEL for many years.
Yeah.
And so prior to the pandemic, I was able to secure funding for every school in Brooklyn North to implement a SEL program right
wow.
alongside their academic programs. This was 3 years ago. And
good
so permanent SEL programs that were implemented in our schools included the RULER program out of Yale University, Leader in Me with Stephen Covey, Sanford
yep.
Harmony and Sanford Inspire out of National University. But here in Brooklyn, our partnership for those two programs was with Long Island University. And then our own Brooklyn North homegrown SEL program around mindfulness and yoga that was supported
you.
By
wow.
the Brooklyn Borough President's Office. So
wow.
we had SEL programs prior to the pandemic implemented in every Brooklyn North school, and all of our superintendents embraced the SEL programs, all of our principals, and so that was going on. A part of we have our team here in Brooklyn North is about hope, love, and science. And so our SEL program was part of that, the hope team in Brooklyn North, ensuring that our students felt a sense of belonging in every one of our schools, that we had positive relationships among students and between students and the adults in the building, and that every school was welcoming and safe. So this was there before the pandemic. So when the pandemic hit, our students, families, and staff members began experiencing increasing levels of trauma, and we
mm-hmm.
were able to pull on these strong programs that we had already in our schools. And so we've used those programs to help us navigate this pandemic. And as David said, teachers began immediately incorporating SEL in academic lessons when we went to remote learning in spring
fabulous.
2020.
Fabulous.
Prior to that, I would say SEL programs were, sometimes standalone programs in that maybe they occurred in advisories, they occurred
yep.
in restorative circles, and so on. But what happened during remote learning was what is now we're calling SEL integration, right? Teachers knew that they couldn't start academic lessons unless they asked students how they were feeling and so on, right? So they started incorporating the mood meter into every remote class and so forth. So those were some of the ways in which SEL, helped teachers and students and families navigate throughout the pandemic.
And by the way,
ahead,
I was going to ask
yes.
you, which you answered the question. I wrote down as you were talking, well, how was all this implemented? And you answered to a certain extent as best as we can do right now through advisory, et cetera, et cetera. But I agree with you. It has to, and I think David would probably agree too, it has to be implemented throughout the school day and through various teachers, because the SEL side is so important, especially with all this. And Karen, just out of curiosity, okay, and I know a lot of this is anecdotal, we're doing the research right now, how are the kids, and you've done a good job, you've done a great job, okay, incorporating the SEL over the years, okay, 3 years now, okay, you've taken it seriously, we know it's important, but that, and it had a test because we had this pandemic, okay, how, over the course of the last year, how are the kids doing, how are the teachers doing? Okay, and by the way, SEL is important for teachers too. Okay, they're going through the hammers of heck too. So talk about this. Okay, just from your point of view, how's everybody doing?
So I would say as good as we can do, considering
yep.
we are in the middle of a pandemic. There's been
yep.
so much loss experienced in New
yep.
York City and in the Brooklyn neighborhoods, and our students and team members, staff members have been affected directly or indirectly.
Oh, yeah.
So, given that backdrop, we continue to support as much as we can And so for this 2021 school year, the Central Department of Education trained district leaders and principals on trauma-informed care. So that all staff members, students could be able to be supported when they return to school for the 2021 school year last September. And so the department released what's called a Bridge to School initiative or program that had strategies and ways in which school communities could come together to heal so that the adults can participate to be able to support students and so on. So that was great. So when the 2021 school year began, there was a big focus on building relationships among students and teachers. And so for the first 3 days or so of the school year, teachers were engaged in the relationship building process because students were either coming to a new school or they were coming to a new grade level and meeting new teachers.
Yep.
So we spent a lot of time on relationship building at the start of the school year. So students, of course, they're in the middle of a pandemic. Last September, October, there were a lot of anxieties and so on. So we wanted to ensure that there were strong relationships between the teachers and the students and families so that we can then get to academic learning. And here in Brooklyn North, some of our schools continued for the first weeks or so to really concentrate a lot on CEL before we went back into strong academics.
That's wonderful.
But eventually we then, you know, started to put the two together and to continue the work of the school year.
I think that's wonderful. Dave, you want to make some comments on this?
Yeah, no, I think Karen said it really well. The goal is to organize schools around these principles of social, emotional, academic development. We know all learning is social, emotional. And when we're making that explicit, when we have systems and structures, then everybody benefits. We have a great opportunity coming up on March 25th. We're going to be training up to 500 principals within the New York City Department of Education. And working with them to again, think about what does it mean to integrate social-emotional concepts through an instructional framework, right? And so the work is just spreading. It was happening before the pandemic. It's going to happen after the pandemic. This is what it means to support the whole child, put out a whole kid out into the world who can solve problems and make our community stronger.
And be stronger and work their way through this, okay? Kids are resilient. The teachers have to be resilient, too. And, you know, we deal a lot here, Karen, with equity, okay? We're really concerned about that, all right? And I know that this is interesting, okay? You started in Brooklyn North. There's been these diversity pilots I want to learn more about. Okay, and you've got family. I believe some of these involve kids who are very young, long before they would normally start. Okay, in a school district. Okay, now you've got the pandemic. Okay, how are things going in terms of pre-K and K, getting kids ready for the educational experience they're going to have over the next 12 years? Okay, and in terms of SEL and family engagement and all that. Karen.
So we are very fortunate in Brooklyn North in that we have a program we call Brooklyn Basics in collaboration with Brooklyn South. There is another executive superintendent in Brooklyn South, and we come together and we implement and administer a program called Brooklyn Basics. It's out of Harvard University, and it's a program that aims to support parents in truly being their children's first teachers by sharing tools and strategies with parents that they can then use to enhance their children's preparation to be ready for school at 3 years old. As you know, here in New York City, we have in many of our school districts students starting school at 3K. We happen in Brooklyn North to have that occurring in four of our seven community school districts, and we will be adding an additional school district in for the 21-22 school year.
Good for you.
So we
Good
are excited to welcome our three-year-olds into our schools, but the Brooklyn Basic Program helps parents ensure that they are ready to start school at three. And parents
I think
learn first – Go ahead.
Well, the reason I want to ask, I deal with a lot of school districts. And one of the challenges that school districts have with family engagement and pre-K, and this isn't New York, but it might be. That's why I'm asking the question. As so many people come from so many different cultures, okay, and some people they have trouble understanding that the school district is reaching out to them to get these kids ready, okay, and it requires a lot of work to get people from other cultures, okay, or people who have been beat upon, okay, to understand that the government's on their side in this case. And I'm just curious, as you go out there, okay, how are we doing in that regard? Do you have a lot of parents involved? Do they understand? This, to me, is so important because we've got to reach out to these folks who may not understand all the good you're doing. I'm just curious about that.
Yes, so we have many methods to reach out. With respect to the Brooklyn Basics, there are events across Brooklyn North where parents are informed about this program. And the various school districts, they hold many events. Because many times parents with younger children already have children maybe at the schools in our districts. So that's one way for us to reach out to our parents of the younger students from birth to 3 years old. We also work closely with daycare centers and other community institutions to ensure that we share the information about Brooklyn Basics widely across Brooklyn so that all families can be aware. And also the doctor's offices have a big role to play in the Brooklyn Basics. So when babies are born or parents are bringing their babies in for, well baby care during the first year and so on, doctors can also speak to the families about this Brooklyn Basics program. Yes.
You know, when I was a kid, school started at 5 years old. Okay, when I was a kid, I'm talking about 45,000 years ago. Okay, and, the parents had literally nothing to do with the school district until your kid was 5 years old. You went to kindergarten, I went to school in Philadelphia. And what you just said just struck me as so kind of cute, if I may. Our earliest students from birth to three. Yeah, you can't get much earlier than birth for a first student, I got to tell you. And the fact that you are concerned about these kids at such a young age and these families really shows how education has changed and how involved you are. I mean, I just got a big smile on my face when you said that. I think it's just great, you know, just absolutely amazing. And you've been doing this for a while, okay? How has it paid off? Okay, and I don't know if there's research yet, but anecdotally, you're the superintendent. You talk to people. You know. Is it working?
Of course. So we are seeing, increases in enrollment in 3K in all of the districts that have 3K. And that's increasing enrollment, as they move along and up the grades within the elementary schools. We also have 4K for every student in New York City. So all of the school districts have 4K right now as we work to ramp up 3K in our schools. So it's great that we are able to, start academic preparation, start social-emotional learning as early as possible. In the Brooklyn Basics program, the first tenet of it is for parents to maximize love and reduce stress.
Oh.
That's all about SEL to begin with, right?
It is. It's
yes,
incredible.
And so and also in the Brooklyn Basics, we are supporting babies with early literacy, early numeracy in preparation for 3K.
Yeah.
So all of we're all working together in the same direction. When Brooklyn Basics first came to Brooklyn, I was still the high school superintendent, right? I did not have elementary schools at that time. I did not have middle schools. But I was the first one in line to learn about Brooklyn Basics because I realized, it's so critical for all of our students. Yes, at that time I was getting them at the ninth grade level. But I know how critical it was for them to have a strong foundation from birth.
Absolutely.
And so I really love the Brooklyn Basics program. And this, now in this new role for the last 3 years, I've been able to ensure that it's implemented across Brooklyn North.
Yeah, and it's, I love all these other programs, but I'll tell you, pre-K, okay, is so darn important. Okay, it's going to make the K-12 so much easier, make the kids do so much better. It's just amazing. Dave, as we talk to – we're talking to a lot of people all over the country, all right? And they hear about the Urban Assembly. They hear about your great work in New York City, which is really where you work. Then you mentioned Virginia and all that. How do you want the world of education to work with the Urban Assembly, Dave, in terms of your SEL work and all that sort of stuff?
Larry, I appreciate the question, man. If there's a school or a district out there who wants to think about improving learning solutions, thinking about integrating SEL into everything they do in their school, organizing their school around these principles, social-emotional academic development. If there's a school district out there who wants to invest in career pathways and think about college, career, and community in terms of the outcome of school systems, then the Urban Assembly is here to partner with you. We're here to work with you. We're here to be somebody who can work and think with you to help improve the outcomes for kids. Again, talking about social and economic mobility. If you believe that education can help support social and economic mobility, then the Urban Assembly wants to work with you guys, your district, your kids, to help spread the innovations that we've helped develop. I'm also learning from you guys, the districts out there, the schools out there, who are also doing great work, so that we can then go back to our own schools and test it out and see how it works. So anybody who wants to improve social and economic mobility is a potential partner for the Urban Assembly.
UrbanAssembly.org. And I just want you to define one thing, Dave, okay? We call it Urban Assembly, and urban implies large cities, obviously, or cities, I should say. Okay, your work works with all districts, correct? Correct?
That's correct.
I'm thinking rural.
You got to know where you come from. We came from New York City, and so that's reflected in our name. But we do work across the country, across districts. We've worked to abstract and generalize some of these principles we've learned about how to improve outcomes for young people. So any district in the United States can partner with the Urban Assembly to think about some of the things we talked about.
Right. And what you guys are doing is so important, especially – and when I say you guys, I'm talking about Karen and her work and her staff and her schools and all those 24 others that you – or however you want to phrase that – the Urban Assembly works with. What you are doing and what you have realized over the years with social-emotional has – I guarantee you this has paid off in tenfold. Okay, with the year we've had this year. I mean, I just think what you're doing, it's so hard this year. And Karen, you guys have done just a great job. I got to tell you, you really have.
Thank you, Larry.
I mean it. I'll say it again. Hold on, Dave.
You
in this corner of New York, 238 schools and 10 districts. Okay, and look what you're doing, and look how responsive you are. I mean, it's almost an impossible job. And look at the job you and the others do. It's amazing when you see how big this whole thing is, Karen. I got to tell you, I'm very impressed. I really am. It's great. Great stuff. Say thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay.
No,
I mean,
great team here in Brooklyn North as well.
Yeah, I know you are.
Yeah.
I know you are.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'll say it for you. It's not just this great leader they have. It's everybody who works with her and down through every single school. Right, Dave?
Absolutely. I was just talking about collaboration and my appreciation of being able to collaborate with Executive Superintendent Watts and help understand and realize some parts of her vision around what it means to invest in the social-emotional outcomes and the academic outcomes, because we know that all learning is social-emotional. So just wanted to give a shout-out to that collaboration and appreciate who she is and what she brings to the table for our communities.
Hear, hear. I'll back that up. If I had a toast, I'd drink it too early in the morning for that. Okay? Both of you, thank you. Keep up the good work. We'll do more, Dave. Karen, you take care of yourself.
Thank you, Larry, and thank you, Dave. Great conversation.
Cheers.
Thank you.
It sure is. Be good, guys. Thank you both. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, everybody. Dave Adams, Karen Woods. Karen, what a job. Executive superintendent. I got to tell you, it's amazing when you hear about it. Of just Brooklyn North, 238 schools, 10 districts within Brooklyn. It's just unbelievable. All right. Wow. And Dave Adams of the Urban Assembly. Learn more about them. They're really cool. UrbanAssembly.org. All right. We'll archive at ace-ed.org. Hey, we're all about equity. So are they. So let's do work and work together. Join with us over there, ace-ed.org. That's where we're going to archive this. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Can't thank you enough for listening. You guys have a great day.